Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
The views expressed here within the programs and chats do not necessarily represent the views of liveparanormal.com.
Thank you for joining us for Live Paranormal Radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interaction media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and
you are listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on liveparanormal.com.
Welcome to another edition of My Darkest Hour. Glad to be back. Those of you guys who have been following My Darkest Hour for the years and years we've been doing this, I really appreciate it. And if you've been listening to the show recently, you know that I've been doing a lot of time filming for Paraflix, starting that first season of My Darkest Hours. Into the Further, which is my paranormal adventure show. Talking about different things in the paranormal, going to different places, trying some things, doing a lot of filming. You know, ever since I started working with Patty, you guys know Patty Negri, dear good friend, does a lot of paranormal investigation with me. We've been keeping each other busy quite a bit, so she got me involved with the Paraflix network that I talk about. For those of you who truly love the paranormal, and who doesn't, right? Everyone's loved those stories growing up as a kid. Loves the TV shows. So it just continues on and on and on because it's one of those genres that keeps us going, keeps us guessing, you know, looking for different things. And that was really the importance of Paraflix, and that was to be able to have a network dedicated to the paranormal. I mean, just 100% paranormal, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Paranormal, and it's not just the same old stuff. There's so much in the paranormal. It's such a huge field that you can go to Paraflix and look at the categories and find different things on psychics, different techniques on different cultures and religious practices, besides all the awesome paranormal adventure shows. Like My Darkest Hour, of course, you guys have been seeing that, you know. And tonight is a chance I really wanted to branch out to the Paraflix community and bring in tonight's guest. Now, it's Brandon Cruddy, and I might be saying that wrong because I saw some other guy say his name and totally pronounce it differently. So you guys who have been following me long enough for the past, what, who knows how long I've been doing the show, 11 years now, know that I'm an expert at butchering names, so we'll deal with that at the time. But he has a very great paranormal adventure show. He's also a paranormal filmmaker. His show I want you guys to really focus on is called Paranormal in the Funhouse. And that's pretty much exactly what it is. You know, you're going into the funhouse of the unknown and doing these paranormal adventures and diving in. And I really, really enjoyed watching some of the episodes. So he goes around doing this with his wife, and they investigate the paranormal, which is great. You know, so you can go to their webpage. I put a link up on the event page for the Paranormal in the Funhouse and check out their stuff. So let's go ahead. Let's not waste any more time. Let's just bring him in to from the green room and get this party started, you guys. All right, so here we go.
Hey, how you doing?
Brandon, hi, you out there?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us. I'm glad you're able to get on. Internet's kind of weird right now, but we do it the best we can. So.
Oh, I understand. I do the same thing. Internet, always internet issues.
Exactly. Mercy of the internet. So, all good. So I was just telling the listeners out there a little bit about your show, the Paranormal in the Funhouse, which is awesome, about how they can go to your web pages and stuff. So if you want to point them in a certain direction where they can see more of the content that you have, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, on Facebook, I go by my nickname. I'm known as Fun Uniform because my background was a professional gamer originally. So if you go to Facebook.com/FunUniform. That's where we keep everybody updated about our show, you know, merchandise and so on. We do free live investigations too for our fans, and we just actually bought a domain, so that will be released soon too. And then once that comes out, you'll be able to find us at FunhouseParanormal.com.
Awesome. Yeah, you guys go check that out, see what he's been doing. A lot of great stuff out there I'm sure you guys are going to enjoy. So let's talk a little bit about, let's take a step back and get back into the beginning, because that's always a great place to start, and I like to deal with all my guests. Everybody has that paranormal experience that launched them in this direction. Some are relatively the same, some are completely different. For the listeners out there, can you tell us about the beginning and how you got into the paranormal?
Yeah, I mean, before all this, I was kind of a skeptic, like a lot of us were, but I was open-minded. I was always intrigued in the paranormal, you know, watching Ghost Hunters and watching Ghost Adventures, you know, over the years. But I grew up in a house in Pasadena, Maryland, that had some crazy things go on there. You know, I was pretty young, dealing with anxiety, always assuming everything was anxiety and kind of a psychosomatic thing. I was too young to understand, but now, today, I know for a fact what I had experienced, and my family was experiencing the same thing. We've had people in the attic, it sounded like people were talking, walking, attic being moved, dog barking and growling at things that weren't there. I've seen I don't know too much about the grays, you know. I've seen shadow figures and silhouettes and things, but this this house in particular, I remember seeing grapes. We've had that encounter. It just felt like a dark presence that was there. My mother would hear things and hear people in the house when no one's home. And I've even called, you know, the cops when I was growing up for breaking and entering, thinking somebody was breaking in our house, but really nobody was there. So we had all this weird stuff in this house. We can never figure out why. And then nobody's really been living in that house since, and which I'm trying to get back into. So my childhood home caused a lot of it. And then as I got older, you know, I wanted to take it more seriously because after my brother's death kind of, you know, brought me more faith in life, I got more of an open mind about it. So I went and started doing these live investigations after I left professional gaming and left Microsoft to come to Facebook. So we did all these live streams and live investigations. And then after we got nominated in 2020, I took it seriously. And I was like, this is going to be my career, and this is what I love with a passion now. So, you know, started from a childhood home, and then a death. Death does weird things in life. So my brother's death, man, really brought me into this because I wanted to communicate with him and kind of open myself up to more. And I think it brought more faith to me doing this and during my career. And my goal was to bring faith to other people, to let people know there is life after death. There is still something else after we're gone here in this world.
Awesome. And it was your brother's death that sparked the interest. And what about your parents at the time when you were a kid? So they were experiencing the same things, and were they thinking that it was something paranormal?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my mother, yes, she did. I don't know about my father. He was kind of always a man that's not really into it or believed it. I thought, you know, more of a skeptic. I think nowadays, now he sees our show, he really has opened his mind up more to it. My mom always knew there was something weird. My grandmother lived with us, and she was, like, pinned down in bed. She felt the presence pin her down in bed. My brother Brian that passed away experienced the same, you know, same encounters there. The only person in my family that never got to encounter anything was my oldest brother, Billy. He never got to. But the whole family did. You know, we all experienced something there. My grandmother and my mom was a big believer in that house possibly being haunted. And I believe it was. And there were some dark encounters, man. There was so much. That's why we're trying to get back to that childhood home, man. That was pretty awesome. I would love to get in there because nobody's living in there since we've been gone.
Yeah. And if you get a chance to be in there, it's like coming full circle. You started your career there and you're coming back around to bring that back home. So that'd be awesome if you can get in there. What a great show that would be.
Oh, yeah, it would.
Excellent, excellent. So after having your paranormal experiences and realizing there's something going on, and I think it's great that you've taken upon that mission to let people know that there is something going on after this, because a lot of people – you know, they think there might be, they don't know, but a lot of people, when things get tough, they just kind of start abandoning those thoughts and rationality into trying to, there's nothing, you know, becoming hopeless and stuff. It's like, no, there's always something next. You know, you can't, like we always say, you can't kill energy. It just changes form. But lets them know that there's something on the other side. So when we're losing somebody, we're not totally losing somebody. We're losing a part of that person physically, but the spirit is always with us regardless. So that's a beautiful message.
Yeah, they're always around. And, you know, when my brother passed on, man, it was sad. You know, it's depressing when you lose somebody, but it was very spiritual too at the same time because I had a spiritual awakening from it. And, you know, he was around. You know, that's what I was trying to tell my family. Like, he was around. I could smell him. I could sense him. Even though we had a falling out, I ain't seen him in years, and he was across the world in Wisconsin, but he still came to visit after you passed on. He was here. We've had plenty of encounters. He was trying to get my attention. And then, you know, during some of my investigations, he'll, like, randomly come through, like, spirit communication. We can hear his voice. He'll call me out, you know, let me know he's there. He's protecting me during what I'm doing, you know, so... Yeah, man,
yeah,
you know, we're never ever really gone, you know?
Yeah, he's like, your backup person on your team, keeping an eye on stuff, you know, helping you get through some of stuff. So that's awesome, man. Keeps that brotherhood connection still going. So that's great.
Yes, most definitely.
So after you started learning more about what was happening, what did you decide you were going to do? Did you start doing stuff by yourself with a camera? Did you go out to cemeteries? Like, what was your first step when you were going to start?
So, like, you know, throughout the years, before I was even a professional gamer, you know, I did little small things, camera here and there. I never really had equipment when I first started. But they were never, you know, sometimes they weren't even filmed. I think it was just me and friends trying to figure out what was there. But, you know, when we started taking it seriously, you know, started with those live streams, it was just me and my fiance, Stacy, at the time, and my friend for 15 years, Kareem. So it was just us three. That's kind of how I started. I'm the one that just kind of brought on my friend one day. I was like, hey, man, you want to do this? You want to be the guy that films? And Stacy, you know, we're together in a relationship for 8 years now, and we're like, well, let's do it together. You know, she was curious about it too, so she just kind of wanted to hop in, get her feet wet in it. So yeah, I mean, we started off small. We were going into, you know, cemeteries and stuff. But you know, when that nominee came in, and the reason why I did is because we took a big step further and went to our local legend here in Maryland about the Goat Man and the Crybaby Bridge. That's what really beat off. So we took a bigger step, I think, and rushed it just a little bit, but I'm kind of glad we did, because if we didn't, we wouldn't have got our name out there. I wouldn't have, I probably wouldn't have the confidence I have today, you know, with what I do and my skills in this field. It was an amazing place. Best evidence I've ever captured, and it was just phenomenal. It hit off on Facebook, and so that was the route we took, man. We were just a small little team, and then we did some collaborations, and we had some people come and go, trying to find the best fit for the show. And now, you know, after almost a year and a half, which is crazy, almost a year and a half now, we got our whole team, the whole team together, and yeah, man, it's been a phenomenal experience. But I always we did start off small locations, of course, you know, cemeteries was, but you know, the basic places.
Yes, I mean that's what I was looking for. A lot of people, you know, try to do basic houses and stuff, but those who are really want to get things going start going to the haunted locations, checking stuff out. Obviously, you guys have a Goatman Bridge, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about Goatman Bridge. That's a good episode. And when you guys, when you were doing that episode, tell us about the approach you guys had for when you were going to do that. Because it's a bridge. It's a little bit different than going to a house and going room to room and trying to do stuff. So tell us about that.
So it was different. In season one, we did like 2 months of work there. When I first went there, I was kind of skeptic on the legend, man. I had to go there for myself. I didn't know what to expect, but I also prepared myself for the worst because of the stories and claims. But it lived up to its, the legend lived up to what they claim. And there really was a female there. I mean, we captured plenty of evidence to prove that the woman and child was there. So a woman ended her life a long time ago and ended her child's life on that bridge. And that bridge has been closed down for years now. No cars drive through it. There's not many people that live around it. So it was nice and quiet. Just, you know, the goat man thing, I was like, is it real? They said that there was a man. There's several stories into the goat man that he dabbled in goat DNA, that, you know, he was a farmer, a goat farmer. There's so many different stories on him. But I believe after our first encounter there, I believe there was something dark. It was not human. I felt that, you know, I don't want to use the D word, but possibly just a darker force, and it affected all of us. So, like, in the first season, it really messed us up, and it actually it was weeks and weeks until it rubbed off on us because it lived up to its claim. So the goat man, I believe, was just something dark that manifested there from all these deaths. There was a lot of murders there. There was a lot of tragic deaths on the bridge. They still believe there's still some cars floating under the water I can't tell if that one's true, but I can guarantee you that the woman and child is still there. But they weren't able to leave. They weren't able to leave. It's like the one they call the goat man was keeping them trapped. Wouldn't let them speak, wouldn't let them come through. It was crazy. But the communication we had there was phenomenal. And we were hoping we helped them. And just recently in season two, we went back and did a part two. And this time we took a different approach and found out there was more spirits that wanted to talk. So, yeah, man, I think being here locally in Maryland and doing that really took us and put us on the map. And anyone that's an investigator that, you know, wants to challenge themselves, you know, I'd say go for it. Maybe not if you're starting off, but because it could be a little dangerous. But yeah. But it's definitely real. It's real, man. I think that is what really did it for me. Now, I don't think I ever want to go back here and investigate again, but we are talking about doing a documentary of the history there and filming and trying to get some locals around here and what they think about it and what I captured and kind of put two and two together and find out the truth. Because we found out some more stories recently that I can't say yet, but we found out some more stories that would make more sense to the goat man himself.
Yeah, don't say anything yet. Save it for your episode. Then say, you want to know more, go ahead and check it out. Screening right now on Paraflix. Go get it, you know.
Yes.
That's awesome. So, Goatman Bridge, that's interesting because there's a Goatman Bridge in Texas, and I think a lot of places have a Goatman Bridge. But
yeah,
it seems like they all have a lot of that same, let's say, recipe for a haunting type of environment. A lot of the same activity happens to those places, and the same type of entities are seen at those locations. So it's like, is it some kind of porthole? Do these bridges have some kind of energy about them that are creating these portholes where these things are happening in different states in the same conditions?
Yeah, I could believe that for sure. There's a lot of Goatman bridges or crybaby bridges, a lot of the same names, a lot of the same stories, and similar evidence. You know, I've seen Zach, you know, I've seen him do it, and it reminds me a lot like this, my location. So you're probably right about that.
Yeah, that's cool. I talked to some people at the Goatman Bridge in Texas. I interviewed some people that were there when Zach was down there doing that stuff. And they had the same exact experience. They were seeing something that, you know, they looked, you know, more of the demonic typical stereotype looking thing, but it could have, you know, these entities, if they don't want to deal with you, they'll just make themselves look like that just so you leave them alone.
That is true.
Yeah, but the same kind of legend of the pig farmer and all that stuff there. So I wonder if it's just the right kind of conditions and it's happening in multiple places. That'd be interesting. You're setting up a live investigation from each location, streaming live from each location at the same time to see if there's a difference in the activity. That'd be kind of interesting.
Dude, that would be awesome. I would love to do it. You know, I think that would be something nobody has done yet. So that would be phenomenal.
Yeah. I'm gonna hit Zach up and say, hey, man, I have an idea and I have to be part of it. So that's how it is. But yeah, that's going to be good.
Yeah, man, that would be. There's another one here in Delaware close to us too called Crybaby Bridge, but it's a different story. I don't know. I'm maybe wondering if I should check that out too, see what I get and compare it from the one that we originally did.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep that stuff coming, you know, and that's what I love about the paranormal right now, and everyone's doing this kind of stuff, and everyone's just go.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting exposed to new locations, which is a huge thing because everyone who watches the TV shows and you listeners out there, you know what I'm talking about. We're seeing all these big production paranormal shows, but they're all doing the same places back to back over and over again. You know, how many times we see all of them go to Waverly Hills or to Virginia City? You know, it gets done all the time, and I love those places, but there's so much out there because everybody knows that we can all go somewhere and say, oh, this place is haunted, that place is haunted, this just happened here, blah, blah, blah. So these are the chances for us to learn about these smaller towns in their paranormal world. So we're hearing these great new stories. I didn't even know there was a Goatman Bridge in Maryland, but now I'm fascinated. I'm like, oh, I got to put that on my list. I
think it's awesome, man. Like, there's other people out there that do places you never heard of, so I like that. It's new, it's fresh, and, like, that's what we're doing on this new season coming up now. Like, we're going to be doing more in Maryland that has a lot of haunted history but never been investigated. So we want to put them, like, on the map, something fresh and new. Like, we're trying to go with this haunted bar and tavern look this season that nobody's touched yet. So that's why I'm excited. Always fresh and new.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Looking forward to checking that out. So when you decided you were going to start doing the investigations and you're filming all this stuff, it only makes sense to put it together to mini-doc this stuff out so other people can experience it and see it. I love that. What was the first thing you decided to do when you were doing the investigation and came across that? You're like, we should do this for a paranormal series.
Well, Natalie came out and reached out to me, actually. I didn't know what Paraflukes was at first. It was a brand new thing. She came across me on one of the groups, and I think she watched one of the episodes, man. So she was like, I think she saw Baltimore, Maryland Demon House. I think it was that episode, but she hit me up. Once she hit me up, and I was, like, super thrilled and excited, and I couldn't wait. So, you know, that was a definite thing right there. I was like, that's what did it, really. It's like, yeah, this is going to be legit. Let's start documenting this and so everyone can see around the world. So that's actually thanks to Natalie. She reached out to us. But, I mean, if it wasn't for my background, though, professional gaming with horror content creating, like I was a big horror content creator. If it wasn't for Microsoft, I wouldn't have had my name out there to begin with. So I think that background too, you know, professional gaming. I loved it with a passion, and I do miss it, but I love what I do now more. You know, so I got to thank Microsoft, and I got to thank Natalie for, you know, getting us where we're at now.
For the transition, absolutely. So
yeah,
let's talk about that for a minute. Let's talk about Brandon, the professional gamer. So let's talk about that experience and what you were dealing
with. Okay. Yeah. So basically, I was struggling in life, man, at the time. I was homeless. I had nothing to lose when I came back from off the streets to get my life together. I ended up just seeing everybody doing the streaming thing. And I was like, man, this looks easy. But it was far from easy. It was hard. But luckily, I don't know what it was, because I suffer with anxiety attacks, panic attacks, and I don't like being on camera at the time because I wasn't used to it. But when I was behind the camera, I was a different person and got rid of my anxiety. So I became like this mental health advocate to help others and try to help myself while I was doing it. So I was on Microsoft, and we just blew up. It blew up really quick, I guess, because it was different. I think we picked this horror content, Friday the 13th gaming, and we were doing something that others weren't, helping other people, opening up about their life, not being afraid to speak about what you're going through and what they're going mm-hmm. through. And in 8 months, Microsoft partnered us, and we became a partner and signed a contract with them, man. And so came from homeless to doing gaming. But, yeah, man, that's the one thing I miss is being able to go on, talk to all these people, and have them open up to me as I open up to them. We could still do it in this field as well. It was just mm-hmm. different. It was different, you know. So that's where it started. I was known for the Friday the 13th game. I was obsessed with Jason and the movies and the game.
That's awesome. I mean, what a great game that is as well. So to be a part of that in that transition from not having anything to having everything change. And I'm a big believer in that. I believe there's an equal balance of what we go through in life. So when things get really, really bad and you're running out of money, you're barely surviving, I think that's just countering what's ahead of you. I think something's big kind of transitions right after that. So you have to go through that suffering to be able to enjoy and appreciate the wealth that you're about to have.
So, yeah, that's definitely true.
Yeah. So that's how I look at it, which means I'm probably going to be a billionaire eventually because COVID's slowed everything down, but you can only hope for the best, right?
Yeah, I noticed too, man, since this pandemic too, like, I don't know if you noticed it too, but the paranormal, like, it's just blowing up more. The shows, even activity, I noticed that. There was only one benefit of this terrible pandemic, and that was more people got an opportunity to find a new career path when it came to the paranormal. I did notice that. I've been thinking about that.
Absolutely, and that's part of that big change. Everything shuts down, and all of a sudden this year, you and I both were contacted by Paraflix to put something together. And what a surprise that was. And then I'm like, oh, I don't know, let's see what happens. And the first episode comes out, and it's like, oh, success. Cool. I love doing
it. I love your episode, too. The Majestic, I've seen that. I didn't get to see the second one yet, but it was awesome, man. I loved it.
That's my theater, man. If you ever want to come out here to California and run around that place.
I would love to. I would love to, man.
Yeah, I have Patty, you know Patty Negri.
Yeah.
She comes out a lot, all the time, and we always just do stuff at that theater. We do internet, whether it's seances, or we're
awesome.
We're trying to do an internet connection with other paranormal teams back east when they're filming their stuff. So that place is like a little hotspot for us. So if you ever come down to California, man, I'll hook you up. Come check it out.
Dude, that would be great. Our team would love that, man. I would love that too. Especially after watching it, I would love to be in there for myself.
Yeah, that's fun stuff. So that's the invitation, man. You ever get a chance to come out, let me know, and I'll hook you up.
I appreciate that.
So now that Paranormal in the Funhouse is doing great on Paraflix, and those of you listening out there, you're listening to My Darkest Hour, my guest and I, Brian, how do you say your last name properly?
Oh, it's Crowley, so it sounds like a long O. Yeah. Some people get confused with that.
I heard some other guy say it, and he said it all weird, and I'm like, no, I don't think it sounds like that.
Yeah, everyone's always done that. It's all good, though, you know.
It's all fancy. That's funny. Who's a paranormal investigator. He's a paranormal filmmaker for Paraflix show. You guys hear me talk about it every week. Go Paraflix, get it now. Check out Paranormal in the Funhouse. You're gonna love it, especially the crying bridge episode, which is we're just talking about that. Check that out. Really good stuff. And you know what's awesome, which is different than my episode. I'm doing the voiceover and I'm just doing a straight recording, nothing special. Yours is like, it comes in all strong with the reverb and slow and dramatic. I'm like, oh, dude, that's awesome.
Dude, I'm definitely trying. I'm new to editing. So like season one, I had somebody else do it, and they did a decent job, but I didn't have a person to edit season two, which is almost done. Season two is like 20, 30, 40 times better than season one. I'm loving this season. Feels better. It looks better. I just started learning how to edit, you know, when it comes to doing my voiceovers and video editing. So I'm surprised you all started loving it. I've been hearing great feedback about it because I'm still nervous when I do it. It's a lot of work, though. It's a lot of work, but
yeah.
I'm loving it. I'm enjoying it. I'm almost done a whole season, and I feel great because I got to do it by myself editing, and I didn't learn from YouTube or anything. I just kind of picked up on it. So a lot of people can do the same thing, man.
That's the best way. It's like, okay, what does this thing do when I click on it? Oh, okay. And that's how you learn, because that's going to be your system that you tailor to how you do it the way you want to do it. You'll remember that every time.
Yeah.
So that's
I love doing the voiceovers for it, man. And like, there's this guy named Jeff Maxfield that just, you know, I just started hooking up with him beginning of season two, where he does he's the voice on the trailer for season two, and then he's also doing the voices for the intros and outros. It kind of sounds like you're Randy Savage a little bit, Macho Man. He's amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to have him on there. I don't like hearing my own voice, but I'm glad that you guys like that.
I thought it sounded really cool because I was checking the episodes out. I'm hearing you guys talk on the handheld camera, so it's kind of you're kind of focusing in on it, like okay. All of a sudden, you hear this loud guy's voice come through all of a sudden. He's going, right now,
yeah.
In the background behind Brandon. It's like, whoa, is somebody moving in the bathroom? Are you serious? Yeah, it just popped it out. Like, that's so cool.
Shit, feel like makes it more suspenseful and things.
Yeah, and the music too. I was like, just something just happened? That was crazy. What? Yeah, that's important stuff, man. It really adds to that feel. So I really
appreciate
that in there for everybody. That's cool, man.
Appreciate that, man.
Excellent. So, and congratulations for best ghost hunting series at the Higgy Pops 2020, man. Is that for a certain episode, or is that just for the show in general?
That was just for the show in general. That was right before Paraflix. It was for Facebook. We got voted. I mean, when I started on Facebook, I only had 100 followers. We're about like 30,000 now, and it grew so fast. So if it wasn't for the fans on Facebook, I wouldn't have got it. I mean, they ended up, I guess they just all voted for me more than I thought. And they announced it as, you know, Fun Uniform, my nickname, but it was still for the show. It was Best Ghost Hunting Series, and we got nominated. We were so close. I even saw, like, Jack Osborne on there and stuff like that. So it was cool to be up there with the big names. You know, the ones that definitely actually won the awards definitely deserve it. But I was shocked. I wasn't upset that we didn't, like, win, but we got nominated. So that was big. And I was like, this is awesome. So I was like, let's get there again. So I'm hoping with, you know, this season ending and the end of this year, we'll see it again, but this time maybe actually achieve that goal. But at the end of the day, it's just cool to see all your hard work paying off and being put on there, even before we got the opportunity with Paraflix and coming from Facebook. So that was surprising, you know?
Yeah, because you think, it's a social media platform. People can check my stuff out, whatever, that's cool. All of a sudden, it's got that much attention where Facebook has to make something about it. Like, hey, man, this is really good stuff. So that's a bonus right there, man.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely was.
Right. So what's the plan next for you and what you guys got going on?
So right now, we're Female Institute. Well, this is the end of season two. Like I said, if you haven't watched season two yet, anyone, watch it. It is way, way better than the first. It has improved the locations, the equipment, and we've even improved. We've gotten better at what we've done. So it's almost done. Female Institute getting ready to come out hopefully tomorrow or the next following day, depending on how this internet is, trying to upload these to the Google Drive is a pain, man. But yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
And so we got one more after this that comes out called the 1810 Tavern, and that's the season finale. So our goal is to do season three. We already got everything set up. We just got back with our older sponsor called D's Ghosts. We're going to be making a big improvement that we didn't get to do last time with new ghost hunting equipment, you know, start selling our equipment. But we got up with these tours in Maryland. They're like one of the top ghost hunting tours in Maryland called Haunted Tours and Crawls. And now that we hooked up with them, we're going to be able to get in any location we always wanted in downtown Annapolis area. So that's big. So we just lined up all these places. Like we're this month, we got like something called Middleton Tavern. We got a haunted attraction that's actually haunted. We got a lighthouse coming up, and then there's like a lot of these taverns and bars lined up for this season. And even this group, Host Ghost Paranormal, contacted us and a few others that are going to collaborate with us. So you're going to see a lot more collaborations, more sponsors. And this season, when you watch it, season three comes out, we're going to have like these little ads on there. We're going to have some more interviews, some post interviews. We're going to change it up. So, you know, I'm going to try a more science approach to it too, if I can.
Awesome, man. And that's what it's about. Throw everything at it, you know, and
yeah.
You know, you can educate somebody on it at the same time. They're watching the show and they're getting that extra knowledge. I mean, that is awesome because you get to watch something you enjoy. Plus you get smarter every time you watch an episode.
That's what I do, man. Watch shows like I'll watch your show or I'll watch somebody else's. I learn a lot from you guys too. So it's cool. We learn from each other, and we learn a lot from each other, too. So.
Yeah, definitely, man. It's good, and that's what I like about being part of the Paraflix community. We're all close and we're all communicating all the time. So it's like, wow, how great is that? We're part of something that's really unifying a lot of people. We all just networked like crazy jumping into that. So Paraflix really did put it together for us properly, you know?
It finally made Roku Television too, so we're on that too all together, so that's awesome.
That's right. That's step number two. Who knows where we're going to go? The ladder just continues.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone involved with that's been great. Natalie's been awesome too, taking care of stuff and getting stuff, you know, together and put up on time and setting up the events. That's going to be good. Also, just the content providers. Like I was saying in the beginning, there's so much different variety of what you can get from going there and selecting through stuff. You can learn anything from a lot of these people who have years and years of experience. So everyone should check it out.
Yeah, like I learned some editing just by watching it, like thinking like, you know, how did this person do this sound effect, at what point of time is good to make it sound like that or something. So, you know, I learned that too. So, you know, you can learn a lot from it. And so it's definitely a different variety. It's not all the same. It's always new. It's always fresh. So everyone has something on there to watch.
That's perfect. Yep. Totally agree. So do you guys have any events coming up, some live stuff you're going to be doing?
Yeah, we got a free one tomorrow. As long as this hurricane don't come through, apparently there's like a big storm coming. If it does, we'll postpone it, but I'm hoping not. It's something small. I came across it on 4th of July. It's called Duval Family Cemetery, and there's a story behind it. It's a small little cemetery. It's kind of broken up. It's from like the 1800s, and I feel like something just intrigued me by wanting to go there. So I looked up the history, and a random historian, the same day we found it on 4th of July, told us about it. They owned that land. They had a farmhouse there that they tore down, and that cemetery is so old that they probably want to speak and have a voice. And I found out they had a connection with the Waverly Mansion in Maryland that I did on episode 1 of season 2. With the Howard family. So I was like, stuff happens for a reason. So I ran into it, and there's a bunch of land. And then they have a memorial for an officer that passed away in 2005 that they claim that, you know, it could, you know, there's a weird feeling there. So it's kind of like connected. The Fall Family Cemetery, where the farmhouse was. You got the baseball field that's been there for years. You got the memorial baseball field. Just something different. And I was like, here, if you wanted to do a live event, guys, this would be a place to do it. I feel the Duval family definitely wants to talk because it looks like people have, like, destroyed it. I know that's old and falling apart, but it looks like there's been some vandalism there, which I hate to see. So I would like to communicate with them maybe and talk and maybe I could even find out where I could raise money for them to keep up the work there and keep their tombstones together and fence together. I was thinking about that because the man we spoke to told us different things that they just don't have the money to do so. But it was just weird. It all happened together. You go to 4th of July to eat outside and do fireworks. You run into a cemetery at a playground and you run into a historian at the same time. It was just strange.
If that's not a calling, I don't know. I mean, what?
And real quick, yesterday, I stand outside. You don't normally see the name Duval in Maryland, nor have I ever heard of the name Duval, I don't think. So I was outside out front of our hotel, and there was a plumbing truck that drove by. It said Duval Plumbing. So I was like, all right, we got to go.
Wow, yeah. I mean, that's only something you got to do. And you can do that. That's cool if they let you out and you guys your test line. And I say test because you come on and how you lay it out, you can do that. You guys can set in a live stream event up with you right or someone and raise money. People who will donate to check out the video feed, and it'll go to the, you know, the restoration or whatever they got to do. And I'll keep
so
it
like,
rolling feedback.
That's what we're definitely going to try to do for sure. I mean, if I can find out where they can donate and or after we shoot there, I'm going to definitely plug it in big time. I want to. Because I just feel bad. I hate seeing it like that. You know what I mean? So if I can, I'll definitely do it.
Cool, man. Well, let us know about that. I'll put that on the show as well. That'd be cool.
Awesome, man. Thank you.
So now things are opening back up. Are you going to get out there and start doing more Paracon stuff?
Yeah, I wanted to. We were supposed to go to Paracon, but it didn't fall through. We were supposed to go to Connecticut. But we just changed up our sponsors, and so we're gonna see what happens. And keep an open mind about where we want to go. Right now, we're just kind of allowing people like, you know, that want to come to Maryland and meet us, join as guests right now. We're just kind of doing that thing. A lot of people have been wanting that. A lot of people have been wanting us to come to their location too and meet us, you know, because they'll ask for like autographed posters and shirts, but I think what's bigger is having them to be a guest in our show instead of just getting like giveaways. How about you win a chance to come down here and film with us? And so I'm going to try to take that approach this season, man, you know, now that everything's open.
Yeah, absolutely. You can have to go check out some of those places and get real world experience as a investigator to get them started. And it's that's cool. That's a great idea. I hope you guys go do that. So you're working on season two right now, or is it totally done?
Oh, season two. So the season two is basically done. There's one episode I have to edit, which is the season finale. And that'll probably be in 2 weeks. But the Female Institute, if I can get it out tomorrow night, you know, get it to Paraflix on time, you'll have it tomorrow night, and then you know, I just got to edit one more and we're good to go. And we already started filming season three. We went last night to Denton, Maryland, private residence with 22 deaths in a household and a murder weapon that was still there, plus Indian land. So it was crazy. So I got to hold a murder weapon for the first time last night and investigate it. It felt really weird, uncomfortable. And I didn't know what to think, but we got a lot of evidence, so we're already started to shoot season three and do something different that they've never seen on season two. But once we edit 1810 Tavern, I'm gonna celebrate, man. Season two is complete, so I'm excited, man.
That's awesome. Congratulations. That's cool. That's a huge thing. A lot of people don't think about how much work goes into all of to have a complete season and be able to have season two complete now. I mean, that's huge, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's definitely a lot of work in the field for all of us, man, when it comes to editing, filming, traveling, the expenses, you know, gas. It takes a lot, you know, but it's all worth it at the end.
Absolutely. Let's talk real quick about our stuff. Let's talk about equipment. Now, you've done two seasons, going three, and let's talk about what you started with and what you love to use now. Talk about the feeling now.
The equipment I used when I first started, man, was cheap little EMF meter. Probably season one, you'll see that each episode we've always had something new. But my favorite thing was the REM pod originally. It was always just the same REM pod over and over, so it got boring. So it was just basic Spirit Box REM pod. All right, so season one, you're not going to get a lot. You're going to get evidence, but you're not going to get a lot. And I made a couple rookie mistakes. So season two, I got to improve, and we tried everything. I tried science approach to it. I tried different equipment. But my favorite piece of equipment, it's always going to be my favorite, is the SB7 box. And if I'm going to use a REM pod, I want to try different ones, whether it's a REM pod that, you know, does something different than the last one, or it's a bear, or, you know. So I do love my trigger objects the most. I love the fact that I can physically know that their presence is there and they're using that equipment. And spirit communication is my favorite thing. So SB7, is my favorite toy, but I just fell in love with the EDI, and if anybody doesn't know what the Eddie is, I just used it the entire season, too. It's been great. It did humidity, vibration, EMF, you know, like the milligaussum, you know, temperature, so I love that. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to get addicted to using it, and we've gotten some great evidence with it. But, yeah, you're going to see a big difference. Season 2, every piece of equipment, we might try it and never try it again. So you got to figure out what works for you and doesn't. Stacy, her favorite thing is dowsing rods. She's perfect with them. She works great with them. She becomes the antenna. So she's got her favorite, you know. So, yeah, we're trying different things. We've been back and forth trying different sponsors out, see what fits the best. And we just went back to one of our old sponsors, so you're about to see some newer things, season 3 too. So, but you'll see, like a big improvement. We started off with the small things. I couldn't really, it was expensive at the time. It was hard to afford it, but there was ways around that. You can use other things from home. You don't always need ghost hunting equipment. So we kind of use things like that. But yeah, SB7, EDI, right now, my favorite thing still.
Awesome. See, that's what I was talking about the other day, about equipment and people, so many, you know, because there's so many toys now to choose from. And it's really about what you're starting with, learning with, and then what you, for yourself, use. Because you turn in different equipment in certain equipment for investigation. So it's really, that's the evolution right there. And a lot of people experience that. My motto is pretty much try everything. You know, that's what we're there for. We're doing research. So we have to try this unit in this condition. Let's try this unit over here for this condition and then see what the variance is. And then now we're working with science, so that's awesome.
Yeah, there's so much equipment out there anyways, man. It's hard to choose from these days. It's like they said, the technology is so much more advanced. But, yeah, I do we use, you know, this, you know, season 2, you'll see more of the SLS. So that was like a new toy when we started season 2.
Mm-hmm.
That's been fantastic. You know, yeah. I've been loving that SLS. There's so much out there, but I mean, you can make homemade things. Everyone can. Like, you can't afford equipment. There's so many things you can try at home. I mean, you can literally get a compass that's magnetic at like one of the hardware stores, and you can use that as an EMF detector and such things like that.
Right. That's right, man. Simple stuff. You know, can get things done. You just have to just think about it. You can go to websites or even go to YouTube and type in what you're looking for, and people will have a way to make them, so check it out. Is that your
My
cat?
Cat's talking. Yeah, that's a Funhouse mascot, dude. That's Chubby Cubby Cake. We got our own coloring books out for our TV show, and she's in it. So, yeah, she's trying to talk to me through the door.
That's awesome, man. Very cool. Cats are cool. All right, so we are coming to the end of the show, and we're going to go by pretty fast. It's been awesome to talk with you and have you on the show. And
thank you,
again,
man.
Congratulations on your success.
Well, dude, I appreciate it. You know, I'm very grateful for you allowing me to come on here. And it's nice meeting you finally, dude. I got to watch your show, never got to actually talk to you. So it's so great. Hopefully we'll keep talking. And I'm going to watch your new episode, man. I'm going to watch episode 2.
I appreciate that. So let me know when you ever take a chance out here to come here, man. I'll hook you up.
Sounds good, man. I appreciate it. The whole team does.
Cool, man. Yeah, so if I go to Maryland, you have to show me Goatman Bridge. So.
Yeah, man, that would be awesome to have you come to Maryland. I'll take you there. You can be my guest. Walk in there.
Cool, man. Love to check that stuff out. All right, buddy. Thanks for joining us, and we'll all be looking for you on Paraflix, man. We're going.
Awesome. Thanks, man. You all have a good one.
All right. And that is Brandon, you guys. You guys have been listening to My Darkest Hour. I've been your host, Stefan. And that is Brandon Crody. for paranormal investigator, paranormal filmmaker for Paraflix, paranormal in the Funhouse. You know, he travels around showing us new stations. It's really awesome to talk to him about the success he's had, to talk about the evolution of Paraflix and how it's really going and bringing so many of us across the world together as a paranormal community, which is huge for us. Because everyone's talking about there's no more paranormal community anymore. It's like, there sure is. It's at Paraflix. So you guys out there listening, you just come join us and have the fun. Show your passion for the paranormal because that's what it's all about. And we're all sharing it together in real time. I want to shout out to my sponsors, of course. Chili Man Salsa Company, making that paranormally hot chili with all those ghost and reaper peppers. All flavor and a lot of heat, so keep you warm. Lizzie Wizzy's Crafty Creation made warm paranormal things for us as we're walking around those cold asylums filming. Want to give a shout out to Mike Murray over there at Paranormal Tech, and the stuff I've had been working with. You know, the SV1 is incredible. So much. Last episodes of my YouTube. You guys can go sign up right now at Paraflix and check it out. If you have Roku TV, that even makes it better and easier for you, so you watch it on that big screen, of course. And normally paranormal, can't even talk right now, so tired. Paranology is making all those equipment for us, the 360 periscopes, all our spirit boxes. Really doing great for us. More stuff you can check out. And of course, everybody, Live Paranormal, Ron, everyone making it happen, keeping it going on the social media pages. And of course, everybody at Paraflix, our new family that we're really enjoying, really loving. And you guys, you check it out and become a part of it. If you guys are doing some paranormal stuff, let us know. Let me know. You know, if you got something good, come on my show and we'll talk about it. You know, we'll get all that stuff going, what me is really all about. And don't forget to check me out on the Red Light District show on Friday night. That's always fun. So that's going to be it for the show. I hope you guys are out there investigating. Hope you guys are safe. Remember, if you're going to go out there and investigate, investigate smart. Let somebody know where you're going. Make sure you're safe. If you see any snakes, don't go up to it and poke it with a stick. That's not good. So you guys be safe out there. Thank you to everybody at Blog Talk for me and everything. So with that being said, we will see you guys next week. And that's my 90 seconds. So now I got to play my promo music. So you guys have a great night. And we'll see you next time.
This is John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox Sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and you're
listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.
The views expressed here within the programs and chats do not necessarily represent the views of LiveParanormal.com.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interactive Media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.